Hello, my name is James Ancien. I'd like to welcome all of our listeners and our speaker today to our summit entitled Breakthrough Fear and Self-Doubt. Discover how to overcome fears, phobias, and gain the confidence to take control of your life. I am your host on this groundbreaking free interview series where I will interview 21 different leading experts over 21 days on how we can break through our fears and our self-doubt. My hope is that our 21 experts who are masters in their field will help us to understand the causes and the roots of our fears, phobias, and will also share with us tips, strategies, and secrets on how we can overcome our fears and phobias so that we can gain the confidence we need to take control of our lives. I am so excited to welcome our guest speaker today, Emma Roberts. Welcome, Emma. How are you?
Hi, James. I'm good. Thank you.
Good. The title for our talk today is What Stops Us From Having or Doing What We Want in the World? So, Emma, please tell us about yourself and what do you do?
Okay. Well, I am an EFT founding master. EFT stands for Emotional Freedom Techniques, which is a strange tapping protocol, which I'm going to teach you shortly. I'm also a psychotherapist, hypnotherapist, and a master in neurolinguistic programming. I'm a founder, co-founder of the EFT Centre in London, where, along with my colleague Sue Beer, we train therapists to use the tapping technique. I also have a private practice in London where I see clients regularly. It's very busy. So that's about me. I've been doing it I've been a therapist for over 15 years. I've been using EFT for well over a decade.
Okay, great. Thank you. So the main reason for putting this summit together is because I personally lack the confidence outside my area of expertise to move forward with my life. I am a chemical engineer who has struggled on several occasions to move away from engineering after 30-plus years to pursue my goals, dreams, and calling, rather than continuing to be in the engineering field. However, for some reason, I've been unable to move forward outside of my comfort zone, which is engineering, to start a business. I mentioned my struggles to my business coach, and she suggested a book on resistance. This particular book was called The War of Art, and it's by Stephen Pressfield. So I read the book, and that's where I got the idea and the inspiration to do a summit on fear, because it had a severe impact on me, and I felt others could benefit from a summit such as this. How do we break through our fears and overcome our fears and self-doubt? So that was the main reason for me putting this summit together. So, Emma, what is fear and what is self-doubt?
Okay, I think they're probably just different intensities of the same thing, actually. Fear is when something is telling us it's just simply not safe to do or have or get whatever it is that we want. And we don't necessarily know consciously why. Sometimes we can know why. We give ourselves reasons and justifications, but not always. And self-doubt is kind of more insidious, actually. It kind of creeps in there. It's the yes buts, if you like. I could do this, yes, but I'm not good enough. I'm not old enough, young enough, whatever, educated enough. It doesn't matter. Those are the kind of, that's the story we tell ourselves about us. And the fears, I think, are kind of the story we tell ourselves about what it will be like to have whatever it is that we want. I think that in essence is what I would say.
So those are things that's really inside of us, really, right?
It's all inside of us, absolutely. All inside of us. But that's one thing to know it, and another thing to know what to do about it, I think. That's where the problem comes.
I see. So are these fears something that we were born with, or are they things that we've acquired as we age because of our environment?
The latter, definitely. I like to think, although I'm not 100% convinced, that we're kind of born with a clean slate. And then we make decisions about ourselves and about the world based on our experience, on specific things that happen to us that create fear or belief systems, if you like. Having said which, I think it is also possible that we kind of bring with us inherited fears at some level. If you like, if our mothers are fearful when they're pregnant with us, it may be that we are used to the kind of neurochemistry, if you like, or biochemistry of fear, and so we kind of bring that with us and then look for it in the outside world. I'm not sure. I think there's probably a bit of both there.
Mm-hmm.
But so, certainly with my work, it's mainly about where we make these decisions that we're fearful or that we're self-doubting and unpicking them.
I see. So how did you come about to selecting this particular topic as your passion, and what inspired you?
Well, I think actually it's the bottom line for any form of therapy. People will only come to therapy when they want to change something and they can't do it themselves. And actually with EFT, what we've got is a tool that people can take and use for themselves. They don't have to go to therapy. Can be helpful to get through a few blocks, but the essence is they can take the power back to do something about it themselves. And that's what inspires me, really, people helping themselves to change, because I don't believe that I can heal anybody, cure anybody, or any of the rest of those words, but I do firmly believe that given the right tools, each and every one of us can do it for ourselves. And EFT is a fantastic tool for that.
Okay. I know we had Judy Byrne here a few days ago, and she talked about EFT. So can you please recap EFT for us again?
Yep, I will do. What I think would be useful, actually, is to teach people how to do it as we go. But EFT, in essence, as I say, stands for Emotional Freedom Techniques. And it's a coming together of Eastern medicine, as in Chinese medicine, acupuncture, kinesiology, concepts from there, with Western psychological approaches. And it involves tapping on ourselves, various points in the body, which I'll lead you through in a minute, whilst tuned into a problem and speaking various words out loud. It's very, very simple. So shall I take you through it, James? Would that be a good idea?
Yes, I think that would be a great idea, yes.
Okay, so I'm going to get you to tap along with me, all right?
Okay.
And we're going to use the generic term for the problem. We're just going to use this problem. In essence, when we're working on ourselves, we make that far more specific, which I'll come back to later. But just to teach you the point, which you can download on the internet easily as well. The first point we use is on the side of your hand. If you tap with your dominant hand and use a couple of fingers, and then tap on the other hand where you would deliver a karate chop to somebody. This is called the karate chop point.
Okay, so I would tap one at a time, one hand, and then I turn around and tap on the other side?
No, you just need to use, suppose you're right-handed. If you use your right hand as your tapping hand, because it's just, the only reason for that is because it's a bit stronger. And you tap on the side of your left hand between the base of your little finger and the top of your wrist, where, as I say, you deliver a karate chop if you were going to.
Okay.
And at this point, we say what we call a setup statement, which involves the negative issue that we're working with. That could be a memory, a belief, a thought, a feeling, a symptom, and a positive affirmation, and there's something about this juxtaposition of the negative and the positive that seems to kind of be like putting our batteries in the right way. It allows the rest of the tapping to work. So it's a very important point, this.
And this is called a setup statement?
Yeah, setup statement, okay?
Setup statement, so, okay.
So the setup statement goes like this. Even though I have this, and I'm going to use problem, but it could be, as I say, pain, anger, memory, whatever. So you say to me, even though I have this problem,
even though I have this problem?
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
I completely accept myself.
Okay. And we do that three times. And what I'm giving you here is the kind of the standard setup statement. You can alter it. If that positive affirmation feels too much, and it will for some people, you can change that to I'm okay or I'm good. But there's something very powerful about those words, I deeply and completely love and accept myself, that already begins to kind of open possibilities, even if you don't believe a word of it. So
okay.
We did that three times, okay? So we'll do it once more here. Even though I have this problem.
I have this problem.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
Okay, good. So now take a couple of fingers, again using your dominant hand. And the first point is at the beginning of the eyebrow. It doesn't matter which side of the face you tap down. Sort of tap on the bridge of the nose and you repeat what we call the reminder phrase, which in this example is this problem. So tapping there, you want to tap about 6 or 7 times. Hard enough that you feel it, but not hard enough that you hurt yourself. Okay, and you repeat this problem.
This problem.
Next point is on the side of the eye, on the bony bit, this problem.
This problem.
Then under your eye, on the bony bit, this problem.
This problem.
Under your nose, this problem.
This problem.
On your chin, this problem.
This problem.
The next point is called the collarbone point. We say tap where you'd knock a tie because that sends a vibration to both collarbone points. This problem.
This problem.
Under one arm, doesn't matter which side. If you were a girl, in line with your bra strap, so a couple of inches from the armpit. This problem.
This problem.
And then using a claw in your hand on the top of your head, this problem.
This problem.
Take a deep breath in and out.
Okay.
So those are the only points you need to remember. And as I say, if you put EFT, or if you go onto our website, for instance, you've got a diagram there, but there are diagrams all over the internet. So
okay.
You know, you'll be able to follow it, but that's kind of how it works.
So, what's the significance of those particular areas that we tap?
They're based on Chinese medicine. Those are the end points of the body's energy meridians, if you like. They're the channels by which energy is directed around the body. The Chinese have mapped them out about 3,000 years ago, and acupuncturists will put little needles in. With us,
mm-hmm.
What we're doing is we're tuning into a thought, which is a different density of energy, if you like. So we don't need to be terribly specific, terribly accurate like an acupuncturist. We just need to be in the general area to send a vibration down those channels. And what it seems to do, it's all about balance and flow. When we have a problem, when something's not working for us, our system is out of balance, and this will restore it. You may need to be persistent. I'm not going to say one round is going to sort out everything. It's not. It can take, you can take many rounds. You might need to do many sessions over a period of time. But it does work. The key is in knowing what to work with.
Okay, so how often should someone repeat it? Daily, several times a day, or weekly?
Yes, as often as you can't over tap, but you need to kind of be on the case. If you tap once and do a couple of rounds, that's not going to be for most things enough. What I suggest to people, and I suggest this to clients, is that you get a notebook and you write down where you started and where you get to, and that you monitor it by giving issues what we call a SUDS scale, a number, which is based on a scale of 0 to 10 as to how intense, how emotional you feel about the thing you're thinking about now. So not if it was a memory, not how you felt then, but how you feel about it now when you bring it to mind. And you tap,
okay.
Tap, tap, let's say it's a 10, and you check in with yourself, oh, it's gone to a 5, keep going. And
okay.
I would say, if you find yourself doing 10, 15 minutes a day, that would be more than enough to make a big difference.
So the idea is to get the intensity to be smaller and smaller over time, right?
Exactly, yes. So that, you know how when something's happened to us and we remember them and we know they were either embarrassing or we feel guilty or whatever, but then don't, very technical term, they don't get us now. We don't have a response to them now. That's because our system is balanced to that particular memory. There'll be other things that we bring them to mind now and we'll still feel embarrassed or shocked or whatever, fearful in this instance. Those are the ones that are still knocking about in our system, providing the kind of lens through which we're looking at the world today. Those are the ones that we want to reduce the intensity of and clear, rebalance, if you like.
Mm-hmm. So, definitely. So let's talk about some of the concept of psychological reversal in terms of EFT terms.
Yeah. Okay, well, psychological reversal, actually, it's an EFT term that's taken from something called thought field therapy, which is a forerunner of EFT. And basically, it means self-sabotage, secondary gain, the bane of psychotherapists' lives, actually, until now. You know how you can start off with the best intention in the world, I am going to do whatever it is. Let's take a classic one, I'm going to go on a diet on Monday. And by Wednesday, you just have to have that chocolate cake and nothing's going to stop you. You're just going to do it. That part of us that seems to go against our best intentions, I'm sure you've had experience of that, and most of us do, that is what we call psychological reversal. And with EFT, we seem to have a way, combining language with the tapping, that gets us past that. And the unconscious structures kind of that keep us stuck, keep us, as you talked about earlier, in our comfort zones, mm-hmm. stop us moving forward, are very much the stuff of psychological reversal. But they're not in our, well, sometimes they are, but they're usually not in our conscious awareness. So how we'd approach that with the tapping would be thinking about what you want. So for you, for instance, it would be you want to change career. You might go with, I might just try these out and see what happens, even though it's not safe for me if I change career. I deeply and completely love and accept myself. Or even though it's not safe for somebody else. It can often be something about somebody else that keeps us stuck. And as I say, we don't think this way so if it resonates with you, then it's worth following. If it doesn't, mm-hmm. then move on to another one. So even though I'm frightened to do this, and I don't know why, even though I don't want to do it, which is a strange one, because obviously people do want to do it, because otherwise they wouldn't be doing the work. But sometimes it's just worth saying it.
Okay.
And then the last one is deserving, which is a big, big one. Even though I don't deserve this, and even more important, even though somebody else doesn't deserve it, and I'll let them off the hook. They don't deserve for me to be successful, happy, whatever. These are the sort of underlying thought processes that kind of keep us stuck. And it's worth just working through those, particularly safety, fear, desire, and deserving. I mean, there are numerous others that you could do, but these are the four kind of ones that come top of the pile, if you like, that are very often there.
Mm-hmm. So since the topic of this particular summit is breaking through fear and self-doubt, mm-hmm. there are a lot of different types of fears and anxieties and so forth. So we can pretty much use this technique for any type of those fears, right?
Absolutely, yes. Absolutely. And those fears, well, and self-doubts are actually belief systems. They're beliefs. Decisions we make along the way as we grow up about ourselves and the world, and then we stick to them and we believe them and we treat them as truth. They go unchallenged. So what we want to do is find a way of changing those, so it's kind of easy. But first of all, we've kind of got to get them into our awareness. You know, if you have a phobia, let's say you have a phobia of dogs,
mm-hmm.
and you can remember the origins, one time a dog bit you, it was frightening, so now you're scared of dogs, then that's easy. You just remember that memory and clear that by tapping through all the different pieces. You know, it was scary, the dog bit me. But a lot of the things that stop us having what we want in the world, stop us breaking through fear, are actually much more subtle than that and far harder to kind of detect. Where do they really come from? Because we believe them.
Mm-hmm.
So with EFT, there's actually a very nice metaphor, which I use quite a lot with clients and which we teach our therapists as well, which is the Palace of Possibilities, which basically talks about the concept of writing on our walls. So I'll just tell it to you briefly because it sort of fits in with your comfort zone analogy quite nicely. And the metaphor goes that we all live in the Palace of Possibilities. Mm-hmm. Each and every one of us has our own palace. And those palaces are full of everything that's available or possible for us in this world. Abundance, health, relationships, whatever it is that we want, it's all there for us. But most of us tend to stick to one or two rooms in our palace. Those are our comfort zones, even if they're really uncomfortable. And in those rooms, there's on the walls, things are written. And the writing on the walls is our do's and our don'ts, our cans and our can'ts, our beliefs, the things that are keeping us stuck in those two rooms. People, I can't do that. I won't be successful. Dogs are frightening, to use my analogy before. And the thing is, we treat that as truth. We're constantly, constantly consulting the writing on our walls. And as I say, we treat it as truth. But actually what it is illusion. And with EFT, we have a way of kind of rubbing out that old writing and replacing it with a way that allows us to kind of move through the doors into everything that's possible for you, for me, for anybody in this world. You know, we can have the life that we want to live. And it's possible for each and every one of us when we can clear the blocks, which are always these limiting beliefs.
Yes, sir. So the belief system that you're talking about, is this something that is it through your experience or is it something that you've uncovered during your professional practice?
It's both. I mean, it's how we all exist in this world. You know, we pick up, we make decisions normally when we're very young. Things happen and we interpret them. And if we're under about six, the tendency is to take the responsibility for them. So let's say, for instance, you're at home, your mum's cooking supper and you want to tell her something and she goes, no, 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 not now, I've just got to do this. You might make the decision that you're not worth it. You might, some people might. Well, it's not a reflection on your mum. She's just, you know, got 101 things to do. Her intention would not be for you to take on that, make that decision. But once we've decided something, we then tend to seek it out in the world. The unconscious mind, which is what's running the show, works in gestalts, they're called, which are kind of leaps of association. And it likes familiarity. So it will search out other things that will validate those faulty decisions. You know, we can limit ourselves hugely without having to experience extreme trauma. The stuff of everyday life we can create erroneous beliefs about, and they can limit us in later life. So, you know, that's the trick with EFT. We've kind of got to work out what happened, and how we get to that is through lots of questioning skills, really. But, you know, for instance, if you've got self-doubt, maybe it's I'm not good enough to do whatever it is you want to do. Okay, you didn't just pick that off the shelf. You didn't just decide one morning, okay, I'm not good enough to do it. It's the result of a series of things that have happened to make you decide that.
Right.
So you could ask yourself questions like, well, when was the first time you thought that? How do you know you're not good enough? What happened that tells you that? And that will get you to specific memories. And then you, using that frame that I told you earlier, you kind of make, the best way to do it is make them into a mini movie, that memory, because you want to be, the key to making EFT flow is to make it really specific. So you want to zoom in that memory to the bit of it that kind of really gets you. It could be a look on someone's face, it could be a voice tone. And the thing to do also is to let go of judging yourself. We often go, oh, I shouldn't feel like that about that anymore. It doesn't matter. No one needs to know. Just say, just yes, you do feel like that, and work with it to change it. Because if you feel you have a response to something, and it's kind of well over in real time, then it is still knocking around in your energy field, and you want to clear it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So yeah. Questions like that, you get to the specific piece and then you chat around, well, even though it's that look, even though he gave me that look, and that means I'm not good enough or I can't do it, whatever. And it's about repeating the negative until it just doesn't get you anymore. And at that point, what tends to happen is that people get what's called a cognitive shift, which is a change of belief.
Mm-hmm.
They might say, oh, well, you know, in the analogy with the mother cooking, you might actually get, well, she was just too busy. It wasn't about me. And that is huge because that starts to unpick the whole structure of the not good enough or not worth it belief system that's running.
I see. So let's talk about tallies of possibilities. What stops us from having or doing what we want to do in the world?
Okay, well, it's what's written on our walls, as I just said, in our palaces. And, you know, the thing is that this also brings us to positive affirmations, actually. You know, we're all told to think positive, you know, you can do it, face the fear and do it anyway, and all that sort of stuff. Well, if you could, you would have done. You know, it's not that simple. It's not a conscious choice. So how we use positive affirmations is you might say, I want to be free of this phobia. I want to love dogs. I want to be a whatever it is you want to be. Ask yourself, when you stated that, ask yourself what the yes buts, we call them tail enders, the yes buts for the hanging off the end of that affirmation are, because they're what's running the show. They are the actual affirmation. So it might be, yes buts, I can't do it, I'm not good enough to do it, somebody else can do it better than me, I haven't done enough learning, whatever it is, it doesn't really matter what it is. And you need to tap through them. And then once you're clear of it, positive affirmations kind of, like we call land, they kind of just, oh, they're okay, there's no, you can't argue with them, there's no doubt, no self-doubt underneath them. And then we manifest them. It just happens. When we're invested in the negative and the limits, for whatever reason underneath, as I say, that comes back to maybe we believe that keeps us safe or whatever. They're not going to happen. People often wonder with EFT, kind of, well, you're saying the negatives out loud all the time, aren't you just reinforcing the negative? You would be. You absolutely would be if you weren't tapping. Mm-hmm. But the tapping seems to make the huge difference. And what we're doing is we're actually saying it as it is. We're not pretending everything's, you know, lovely, putting a little sort of oil on troubled waters, pretending nothing's happened. We're actually dealing with the troubled waters and clearing them, because they're not truths, but they're very, very powerful. And when you do that, when you break through them, when you do clear them, you can do anything. Absolutely anything. And it's easy. There's no conflict.
Oh, I see.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. So,
good.
What is the problem with positive affirmations, and how do you get them to work for you?
Okay, so what did you say you wanted to be? You wanted to be a you that you haven't got yet?
I wanted to leave engineering and start my business. So it was basically a fear of unknown. Am I going to be successful in that arena? Am I going to fail? What's going to happen to me once I make that move and leave engineering? So that's really what that was.
Okay. And specifically, what business?
Specifically, I wanted to go into real estate investing. That's what I wanted to do.
Okay.
And
if you were to make a positive affirmation about what you wanted to do, I am going to be a successful real estate investor. Would that make sense, or something like that? What would you say?
What would I say?
Yeah, what would you say in a positive affirmation about what you want?
I want to be a successful real estate investor and be able to help people find their properties and find a place to live, a comfortable place to live, and do it you know, without problems, and do it at a reasonable price and save money and so forth.
Okay. So as you're saying that right now, how are you feeling? Does that feel congruent?
Yes.
Yeah. Are you doing it?
No.
Okay. So attached to that affirmation, you've got yes buts. I like to think of them as being on coat hangers hanging off. And the yes buts you were saying earlier are yes, but I might fail. Yes, but I'm not sure I can do it. Etc. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
So you've got the I am going to be, I want to be, and then something's stopping you, the yes buts. So you get the yes buts or the tail enders. And then you ask yourself, okay, so when did I decide that? When was the first time I felt like I can't do it?
Okay.
Now, what's telling me I can't do it? You may not know. But when you think about doing whatever it is you want to do, in this case, you might just notice you get a strange feeling in your body or something. You know, some people get butterflies in their tummy, or they can't, you know, breathing is constricted or whatever. If you've got an obvious physical symptom, you just use that with the tapping. In exactly the same way as we've just been talking about. Even though I've got butterflies in my tummy at that sort. Something like that. But if you do know, we're often running beliefs without any evidence. We're just used to them, they're habituated, if you like. But they've long past their sell-by date, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about challenging yourself, asking yourself questions that will challenge that belief, and tapping at the same time. The key thing I keep coming back to is the tapping. It seems to make the difference. It seems to allow the unconscious, which is not only where all the problems are, but it's also the source of all the solutions, it allows it to communicate with you much, much more clearly. So does that help with the positive affirmations?
Okay. Let's go back to the tapping itself. So if someone had multiple things that they wanted to break through, would they tap it separately, or would they do it all together?
No, you tap separately. The two key things here, one, to be as specific as possible. So, you know, if you were saying, I know I always fail exams, for instance, you want to go to the specific memory of each time you failed the exam, or the worst time, or the first time. So, and if it's different fears, I mean, they will all be connected. And what often happens is you'll be working on one thing and you'll find that the other thing is just gone.
Mm-hmm.
As we call it, the generalization effect. You don't actually have to work on every single negative memory that gets you. But as a starting place, first of all, if you've got numerous fears running about something, you want to ask yourself which is the strongest right now.
Okay.
And that's your starting place.
I see.
And then it's like the unconscious delivers you the next piece. If when you're tapping, you find yourself thinking about a particular memory or a particular person, it's never a coincidence. Follow it. So, you know, supposing you're tapping on, I'm afraid to break through my fears. I don't know who I'll be, that sort of thing. You might suddenly think of your old boss might pop into your head or something. Don't dismiss it. Have a look at it and think, you know, what's that doing? Why has that happened? And you'll find that in some way there'll be a link. Maybe that there's a fear of ending up like him or a particular attribute or whatever. Because, we're born self-confident and fear-free. Most, 99% of people anyway. You know, some people are born into fear, but the majority of us aren't. And then things happen, as I say, and we've got to find those things to really get clear. And it turns into kind of an interesting journey. It doesn't have to be traumatic or intense or anything, actually. It's more like a journey of discovery.
Mm-hmm.
And when you meet a block, it changes the thinking. It's kind of, hey, I can do this. I've got a tool. This is interesting. How am I going to get through this? What's this all about? It kind of gives a different attitude.
So, how did you come about to becoming an EFT sounding master?
Okay, well, I got introduced to the tapping through in the supervision session for hypnotherapy, actually. And in those days, there weren't really any trainings or anything about it. But the main training you could learn from was Gary Craig, who's the founder of the EFT, his video sets, which were hours and hours and hours, an amazing resource. So Sue, who I work with at the EFT Center, we just kind of got the bug, if you like, and we worked through the DVD sets, we saw changes, we were trying it out with our clients. And then we decided we wanted to go and meet Gary himself, so we went to, I think it was in Dallas, we went to a workshop on using EFT with serious diseases. And just serendipity, really, it happened to be at that point that Gary announced he was going to do a master's program, which was an extraordinary process, actually, I have to say. It was the most in-depth, thorough training and kind of testing that I have ever experienced. And what it involved, in fact, he now doesn't have the program anymore because he's retired, and there are only 29 people in the world who actually got it. And Sue and I thankfully did. But it involved spending 4 days with Gary and his deputy, I suppose, Anne Adams, on film in an arena, like being thrown to the lions. They had those little tickets to audiences who could kind of quiz us left, right, and centre. And then a massive, mini thesis, really, that we had a year to complete afterwards. It was the most thorough, most valuable thing I think I've ever done. And then unfortunately, Gary then decided to pull the program. There was a lot of admin and he wanted to retire. And there was a lot of people wanting to do it who weren't suitable for it. So it finished, which was a shame, actually. But and then since then, there have been a number of master's programs that have been produced by other people, but they're just absolutely not the same thing. It was an experience, and it was great to get to know Gary Craig, who, as I say, was the founder and a launchpad. But for me, what it did was it launched me from training small groups into being on a stage with 300 people and a load of my peers. And I had a thing about public speaking, really. I mean, the first time we ever ran a course, I was so terrified when someone produced a camera, I had to be dragged out from the loo. it was awful. And whilst I'm not going to say standing on stage in front of 300 people is my natural environment or what I would do out of choice, I am perfectly capable of doing it now. And that's the tapping. I've had to work long and hard on it and through lots of different aspects. And I'm fine with it now. I can do demos on stage. I can do all sorts of things without having a problem at all. And I didn't think that was possible. And I had worked on it before with other psychotherapeutic approaches and nothing had changed it.
So, I see. So are you are pretty much based in the UK, right?
Yes, I'm based in London, although soon I do travel with various workshops around the world if people want to invite us. But yes, I'm based in London. Yep.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, thank you very much, Emma.
That's my pleasure.
Yeah, once again, I am James Ensian. You've been listening to an interview with Emma Roberts for Breakthrough Fear and Self-Doubt. Discover how to overcome fears, phobias, and gain the confidence to take control of your life. Thanks, Emma. We have a few minutes left. I know you have something amazing to give to our listeners, so please take a few minutes to tell our listeners what the free gift is and how they can get it.
Well, I haven't really thought that one through particularly, actually, but we do have a lot of free gifts available on our website, which is www.theEFT Center, spelt the English way, R-E at the end, .com. And on that we have a lot of recordings and articles and things as to how you take your self-training with EFT forward. You don't need to go to see a therapist for 99% of this. When you do, you might need to do somewhere between 1 and 6 sessions to get you through to the next stage. But there's so many free resources out there. You'll find, you know, if you look on the website, you'll find various free downloads there, which I hope will be useful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can get that link from you when I send out the interview replay.
Okay.
So thank you very much.
Over
the next several days, we will continue to feature one expert per day. So please check your email for more information from Breakthrough Fear and Self-Doubt Summit 2014. Thank you very much, Emma. I really appreciate your time here. Thank you.
Thank you for inviting me.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.